Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I'm taking time out of me to begin with some inspiration, to talk a little bit about current events, and to continue reading the words of Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 13th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 91. Thank you for joining me. And today's inspiration is really coming from an individual from our community, someone who has contributed much of his life to improving and changing the way that we select remedies and understand homeopathy. And we would like to thank also Dr. Gary for posting a brand new article on Homeopathy World Community under the category of In Memory Of. And really, it's quite shocking and sad news to learn that David Warkinson, creator of McRepertory and Reference Works, passed away on September 11th, 2010. I will read from the passages that Gary posted for us. 2 months ago, David was diagnosed with multiple brain tumors, which were a metastasis of a colon melanoma. David's visionary creation of McRepertory and Reference Works has inspired a revolution in modern homeopathic thinking and practice. He had taught at nearly every homeopathic school in the United States and numerous schools around the world, as well as serving on the boards of several homeopathic organizations. David was the recipient of many awards in the prestigious Henry N. Williams Professional Service Award from the National Center of Homeopathy in WashC in recognition for his years of service, teaching, and dedication to the homeopathic community. His education included nearly three decades worth of seminars and classes in homeopathy with countless teachers, including George Bethulcas, Dr. Francisco Viaga. He also had a physician's assistant's license from the University of California, Davis Medical School, an honorary doctoral degree from the British Institute of Homeopathy in the United Kingdom, and the CCH certification from the Count Homeopathic Certification. David maintained a private homeopathic practice in Marin County, Virginia, from 1976 to 1995, and was co-founder of the Hahnemann Medical Clinic in Berkeley, California, where he practiced from 1985 to 1989. And then he founded KHA in 1989, Kent Homeopathic Associates. Some of David's other accomplishments include photography and whitewater rafting. One of the most well-loved and respected leaders in homeopathy, David will be missed by the entire homeopathic community. And I do want to thank you, Gary, for providing us this information about David's life history and background. it is just quite a shock to have seen him recently at the last LIGA conference in California and not to realize what he was going through. I personally remember him as always having a very innocent smile and his devotion to his art and science and how much he gave. And I remember traveling to his special classes about how to use his programs most efficiently and how he was constantly learning and improving and updating and taking ideas from everyone on how to make it the best programmable with his incredible amount of art skills, with creating charts and colorful diagrams. So he will always be remembered, and his work will always be used. In addition, in August, HWC, Homeopathy World Community, gave a donation to CaringBridge in his honor for the place where people can learn and more about his illness and condolences to his family. So it's kind of hard to move on from there to further news about what's going on because I just read this just a few minutes ago started, and it's quite emotional, especially the fact that it was on 9/11. So we can take a breath here, and my little tweet inspiration comes from Nelson Mandela, and it was put into the broadcast message. It says, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. So what else do we need to talk about? We have many, many wonderful contributors to Homeopathy World Community. I am so grateful for all of the people who have come together as a community to share their life story, what work they're doing, how they are progressing homeopathy around the world. And I would like to tell you of things that are going on the network. One is that Dr. Imtiaz posted in the Veterinarians and Animal Lovers group an article about prophylaxis of anthrax in domestic animals. And he brings this information from Isaac Golden's research that we know that potentized homeopathic medicines, especially nosodes, are efficiently able to prevent infectious or communicable diseases in human beings. And he poses a question to the community. Was there any research by any veterinarians or homeopaths for the prevention of anthrax in domestic animals using these potentized medicines? And there is a response from Ignacio, who has been really, really great in posting information as a veterinarian. She says that there is research published in the, on the net by Dr. Rosas Landa from the National School of Homeopathy, the National Polytechnic Institute in Mexico. We know that Mexico is really at the forefront of using homeopathy today. He uses various potencies, 1, 6, 12, 15, 30, of CGB, that is the tuberculosis bacilli prepared by the seventh rule. And he tells us that one rabbit was injected with this pathogen allopathically. The homeopathic preparation were administered in drinking water during a month. And at the end of the study results, they were measured by Arthas's reaction in skin. And the experimental group showed a reaction. And the 30CH rabbits had the same reaction as the inoculated one. The rabbit control groups showed no reaction at all. In another experiment, they injected mycobacterial antigen in rabbits and gave mycobacterial antigen prepared homeopathically to an experimental group. The rabbits received dilutions of 6CH, 12CH, and 15CH, rendered positive results with two precipitation bands, and the group that received 30CH rendered three precipitation bands, just like the inoculated rabbit. Again, the controlled rabbits showed no reaction. So here we have learning about the research going on today. We are really in a good time where more and more people, researchers, are investigating how homeopathy can be used in many serious illnesses for humans and animals, and how these minute doses can make a huge difference in the lives of these organisms. In addition, I have put up today a story about the adverse effects of a diabetes drug that was produced by Roche. And so they have stopped using the experimental diabetes treatment of tasiglutide in the late-stage clinical trials because of the high rate of adverse reactions. And this drug was once expected to have $2 billion year profit potential. I posted that with about 13 or more questions that addresses how homeopaths think about clinical trials and how it is different from homeopathic thinking and provings that are used and what we consider side effects and what we consider effects and what is acceptable for treating organisms, living human beings and other animals that is satisfactory in terms of suffering and expectations. Please take a look at that and see how you feel about this particular issue. There are also many other articles on HWC regarding the treatment of diabetes, and we can always use more information. I shall go ahead and read about our aphorism from Dr. Samuel Hahnemann now. And we are up to aphorism number 71. The previous aphorism 70 was a summarization of 70. Continuing on, Hahnemann says, as it is now no longer a matter of doubt that the diseases of mankind consist merely of groups of certain symptoms and may be annihilated and transformed into health by medicinal substances, but only by such capable of artificially producing similar morbid symptoms, and such process in all genuine cures, hence the operation of curing is comprised in the following three points. And, you know, I believe I did read this yesterday as well, and Hahnemann here presents three questions. And in aphorism 70, he was giving us three approaches to healing. And I do want to thank all those who are listening and who are on chat today. And if you have any comments, I welcome them and we'll talk about them on the air. So continuing aphorism 7, point number 1, how is the physician to ascertain what is necessary to be known in order to cure the disease? Number 2, how is he to gain a knowledge of the instruments adapted for the cure of the natural disease, the pathogenic powers of the medicines? Number 3, what is the most suitable method of employing these artificial morbific agents or medicines for the cure of natural disease? It appears that aphorism number 1 really is closely tied to clinical trials, to the questions that are coming up today in the news about recalls, about drug effects, about side effects, about how you approach learning about drugs, medicinal agents, and how you select your remedies, and all those questions Hahnemann just presented to us. We will go ahead and read the Organon's aphorism number 72. With respect to the first point, the following will serve as a general preliminary view. The diseases to which man is liable are either rapid, morbid processes of the abnormally deranged vital force, which have a tendency to finish their course more or less quickly, but always in a moderate time. These are termed acute diseases. Or they are diseases of such a character that, with small, often imperceptible beginnings, dynamically derange the living organism, each in its own peculiar manner, and cause it gradually to deviate from the healthy condition in such a way that the automatic life energy called vital force, whose office is to serve the health, only opposes to them at the commencement and during their progress imperfect, unsuitable, useless resistance, but is unable to itself to extinguish them, but must helplessly suffer them to spread and itself to be ever more and more normally deranged until at length the organism is destroyed. These are termed chronic diseases caused by dynamic infection with a chronic miasm. So here, Hahnemann is differentiating the two kinds of diseases. One, he terms acute. This is something that's going to come on quickly. It's going to derange or cause symptoms that are not normal for an individual. And the individual's vital force will be strong enough to throw that disease off, to return to health, to return to a state of normal without any further assistance. You might be ill for a while. You might have congestion, sneezing, coughing, difficulty breathing, indigestion. But once you clear that out, you're going to be back to your good old self again. So, and it comes on pretty strong usually, and you feel them, these symptoms, quite rapidly. And then he goes on and talks about small imperceptible beginnings. So this is something that comes on slowly, gradually, and it's like when you've heard the story of putting a frog in hot water, and what happens? Immediately the frog jumps out of the water because you feel it so strongly, and he knows that there's danger. He knows that that's not the place where he needs to be. So that vital force would react strongly in an acute situation. But if you put this frog into a pot of or room temperature water, they don't feel any difference. And then you turn on the kettle. You turn the light. And slowly the water is heating up. At that point, maybe the frog thinks he's in a bathtub and swimming around, but before he knows it, it's going to cook him. It's going to boil. And that's the end. He's a goner. And so this is in Hahnemann is explaining that it happens so gradually in imperceptible ways that you don't realize that there is this change, this derangement going on. In addition, he says that the virus is in need of help. He says, but must helplessly suffer and each time be ever more and more abnormally deranged, meaning it's getting worse and worse over time until by the lifespan of the person, it's gotten so bad that they do succumb to the disease. They succumb to this chronic illness, unless, of course, someone is able to find a similimum, a homeopathic similimum, to assist the individual's vital force to deal with this disease. And if anyone out there has any comments or questions or contributions, I would like you to post it on the live chat if you're listening, or I will put up a blog on HWC and you can add your comments there. I think we can go ahead on to reading number 70, aphorism 73. As regards acute diseases, they are either of such a kind as attack human beings individually, the exciting cause being injurious influences to which they are particularly exposed, excesses or an insufficient supply of it, severe physical impressions, chills, overheatings, dissipation, strains, etc., or physical irritations, mental emotions, and the like, are exciting causes of such acute febrile affections. In reality, however, they are generally only a transient explosion of latent sora, of P-S-O-R-A, which spontaneously returns to its dormant state if the acute diseases were not of too violent a character and were soon quelled. And so here, Hahnemann is talking about an exciting cause. What is the initiating cause? Is it something that is an outside influence? Is it an injury, an accident? Is it an impression? I've gone out into the garden and touched something that required urtica urens. I had got like stinging nettles. And if you get the similimum, the artificial disease through the homeopathic similimum, the similar dose, this can dissipate and alleviate the symptoms to the local area, to the total disorganized vital force. And so he provides for us other types of influences that can cause a disorder and a disruption to normalcy, and such as a person who overeats, a person who gets their supply of vitamin C and gets scurvy, a person who is sensitive to physical impression, too much sun, to a sunburn, to getting chilled like an aconite where you're out playing and all of a sudden there's a cold wind and then that night you come down with a fever and a cough and really don't feel very well. So there are a lot of reasons or exciting causes, etiologies for why a person could become ill. And then he also says, in reality, they are generally only a transient explosion of latent sora. So I think what he's talking about in terms of miasms are a tendency toward something to an individual, toward a disorder. So the person who goes out into that cold wind and comes down with an aconite, with a croup, with a cough, with a fever, that person is sensitive and susceptible to this kind of disorder. Whereas somebody else who might be out in the same, playing out there with this other person, may not have that occur to them. So that, I think, is why he is saying there would be a miasmatic tendency. And Marilyn Friedman, who is on that today, has told us in her comment that in terms of acutes, individual sporadic acutes, several people, epidemic acutes, and some diseases are acute miasms. So if she wants to go further into her explanation of the different types of acutes that can occur, so she's saying individual, sporadic, epidemic, and epidemics are acute, connected to acute miasms. And I'm sure that Hahnemann is going to go further into this explanation. I wanted to read also a little bit more, since this is perhaps one of the times that Hahnemann is bringing up miasm and sora, I thought I might read from another area on the internet that talks about sora, and that comes from homeoint.org in Roberts, who has written quite a great deal on chapters, The Principles and Art of Cure by Homeopathy by Herbert A. Roberts, M.D. He tells us a little bit more about Sora. He says the word Sora, which Hahnemann used to denote the third great ism, as there are three miasms, is defined by the modern medical dictionary as follows. 1. Scabies. 2. Psoriasis. 3. Hahnemann's term for the itch dyscrasia, defined as the parent of all chronic disease, skin diseases, neoplasms, insanity. It was similar to, though of more extended application, than the herpety dianthus. Diathesis of French writers. And the definition adds leprosy and psoriasis. Funk and Wagner gives Sora is pathology, the itch, or some such similar skin disease. 2. The itch, mite. The derivation is Latin and Greek, but it is rather Hebraic in origin and coming through the Greek and Latin, the original word being tsorat, T-S-O-R-A-T. Herbert goes, the interpretation of this Hebrew word tsorat conveys clearly the thought Hahnemann had in mind. Tsorat is a groove, a fault, a pollution, a stigma, often applied to leprous manifestations and to the great plagues. It is the meaning of the original Hebrew word that we must regard as the base term covering this constitutional defect. In the light of modern comprehension of these conditions, classified by Hahnemann Sora, we may not doubt but that the original meaning of the Hebrew word had greater significance than we have understood. A groove, a fault. With our growing knowledge of the so-called deficiency disease, we need to realize that the lack of certain elements from foods is the great common denominator of almost all the so-called sore conditions, plus a lack of balance in the equilibrium of health that manifests through a hypersensitivity of impressions, functional disturbances, and the patient's recognition of that varies from consciousness to neurosis. The vast majority of the diseases of the earth came from Greek classification, which has been called the mother of all diseases. And Hahnemann found that there was a traceable relationship between these chronic manifestations and the many various plagues which had troubled the peoples of the earth since the most ancient times, manifesting themselves in various ways, such as the ancient plagues of Egypt. Leprosy, at France alone, had over 2,000 homes for lepers, and the itch poison, which swept Europe at a later date. And we will continue this reading about Sora because it is quite important and very fascinating. We have come to the end of our 30-minute session of reading and studying Hahnemann's Organon. I thank everyone for listening, and I'm excited to continue this talk tomorrow. So once again, I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.